tidings, everybody. Welcome to episode 6, technically, of the Secret Ansem Report. I'm Mike. Welcome. It's been a while, technically. I did that episode last week where I kind of went over the future of the Ansem Report a little bit. But it wasn't in the same format as I'm kind of doing this, where I'm kind of talking about stuff that you guys want me to talk about. I appreciate everybody who supported, you know, and I know I got a little real, I got a little emotional doing that episode last week for obvious reasons. And everybody who reached out and was just like, hey, you know, we'll support you no matter what, which isn't what I was looking for. You know, I'm not like looking for like validation that like you guys are going to be here, you know, but it's nice. It's nice that people did that and said that. And I appreciate it. That wasn't the point of it. The point was just kind of let you know where my headspace was and all that. So I appreciate you guys just being cool, being the coolest, some of the coolest people in the world. That being said, I did at the end mention that we're going to talk about the charity stream soon. So I figured, why not right now? So starting on May 5th, I don't have an exact time yet on May 5th. This has been a lot to put this together. But starting on May 5th, which is my birthday, by the way, we are going to start our fifth annual charity stream for Able Gamers, supporting Able Gamers. And it's going to go till sometime that week. It's going to be pretty much the whole week. I know what date it is, but, you know, we like to keep things a little close to the chest around here. What are we doing, you ask? What are we doing? What's the main event of this charity stream? We're going to do a lot of fun stuff, but the main thing that we're going to be doing is playing Kingdom Hearts 1.5 for PlayStation 3. And I know you're like, wait, Mike, you guys, what do you mean? Why are you playing on PlayStation 3? Because the release on the PS4 was Kingdom Hearts 1.5 and 2.5. There's a different set of trophies for the PlayStation 3 games, which are just 1.5 and 2.5 on their own, right? So Jason and I thought it'd be kind of a fun time to re-get those platinum trophies. Now, are we going to finish Kingdom Hearts 1 and Rechain of Memories? Are we going to finish the whole disc in the charity stream? Probably not. As you know, there's a lot of different CBT-type scenarios, especially with Rechain, that you have to go through. But we're excited to, you know, kind of, we figured, you know, if this is going to be like the last charity stream in the same way, it'd be nice to end on some Kingdom Hearts content. So that's what we're going to do. We're also going to be joined by some special guests. Tara will be here, obviously, who is the specialist of a guest. But there might be a couple other special guests that you may recognize. So, again, keeping it close to the chest. But I hope you guys will please join us. This one's definitely been more of a challenge to put together in previous years because of the way my job's been going and all that. But we're excited to do it. I might have to go to work a couple times during the stream. I just might have to. But Jason and our special guests will carry when I have to be at work. So don't worry, we're still gonna do it, and we're gonna do lots of other stuff besides Kingdom Hearts. But I know you all are Kingdom Hearts freaks, so we're just really excited to support Able Gamers again, and I know you guys as a community we're all really excited about it. So look forward to that, and more information on that coming soon, because that's coming up quick. It's coming up real quick. What's today? Today is the 16th, I think, when I'm recording this. So it's of April. So that's coming up very, 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 very quick. So, yeah, we're going to have to put some stuff together real quick. But I'm excited about it. So let's get to your guys's things you want me to talk about. Like I said, it's been a while. I don't even remember when I recorded the last ones that we did. Probably February. Again, I will say I am going to get to everybody's questions eventually. There's some that need a little more setup, or topics that need a little more setup. So I'm not, some of the older ones I'm kind of avoiding until I have time to do that setup, but I promise I'll get to them. But this one's, I'm a little late on, but it's the most current, and it's kind of, I'm putting two questions together. Jip asks, can we get an update on WrestleMania and your thoughts? And Tyler says, what did you think about the Cody versus Rock match? So those are kind of like the same thing, right? Hey, I'm about to talk about wrestling for a long time, so like this is future Mike telling you this. So if you don't care about wrestling right now on the screen, it's like right here or here. I don't know where I put it, but it says what time to skip to get done with the wrestling stuff. So if you're not into that, but I am. So This was Future Mike, a message from Future Mike. Thank you. I watched WrestleMania a couple days late, so because of work. And so I was spoiled on pretty much the outcomes of the matches, but not necessarily how they happened, which was nice. The first night, I thought the second night of WrestleMania was a much better night than the first night. All right, so like I said, I thought night two was much better than night one, but we'll start with night one. The real disappointing match in night one for me was the Usos, Jay versus Jimmy. I just thought it was like, I expected a lot more out of it. I just realized my camera's crooked here. There we go. Or it says it was. Is that crooked? The Usos, I just thought it was such a, for a match that should have just like a built-in, like, dynamic story of two twin brothers fighting each other. I did not feel it in the performance. I thought it was kind of, you know, my brother, Jason, always says that he doesn't like the Usos because all they do is like super kick people. And it just really felt like that kind of criticism was valid in this match. Like, it really felt like they were just like, oh, super kick. Oh, another super kick. Oh, another super kick. And it didn't really feel like they performed up to the standard that the story was. So that was my disappointing match of the night. And I think this whole night in general was a bit disappointing. I thought Becky versus Rhea was fine. I'm not a huge Becky Lynch fan. I get it. I get why she's beloved, but I don't know. I'm kind of over it. Rhea's great, but Becky, I thought that match was a little bit of a dud. I liked Bianca, Naomi, and Jade versus Damage Control. I liked that match. Jade Cargill. Ooh. Whew. That is a woman. Sorry, she looks like, Tara and I were talking about it. She just looks like a superhero. She doesn't look like a real person. You know, like, she's just so jacked and so big and so beautiful, and it's just like, you look like you belong in a Marvel movie, not a wrestling ring. It's insane. I thought the Rey Mysterio-Dominic match was fine. Gunther versus Sammy was good. I liked that one. I know people wanted that to be Chad Gable, and now that, you know, we're past that, we saw what their plan was for Gable. He turned on Sami Zayn this past Raw, so that was pretty cool. But I thought it was a good way to end. They kind of wanted to do the Rocky story, right? They're in Philadelphia. They said, hey, let's make Sami Zayn Rocky, which... it's not exactly how Rocky worked, but you get what I mean. I thought the crowd was kind of a dud for night one as well, but I understand it was like 40 degrees there, and that's why it's always weird to me when they do WrestleMania in outdoor stadiums. Like, I get those are the places that can hold the most people, but like, it's March and April. It's early April. It's really cold. And then the main event, The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins. I thought this match was fine. It was good to see The Rock in the ring again. Like, it's been a long time since he's had like a legitimate match. I thought they were playing it real safe because, you know, if Roman, Cody, or Seth sustain an injury during this match, it kind of ruins night two. So I think they were definitely playing like they were wrestling very safely. It kind of was chalk. We knew, you know, anybody who was watching kind of expected The Rock and Roman to win night one. So night two was Bloodline Rules match. And so I liked the match, but I thought it was pretty safe. And it was good to see The Rock in the ring again. That cell where Roman spears The Rock and he's like, oh, like that. Oh, my God. I just realized I matched the egg on my shirt. I loved that cell. The Rock's the best at, like, overselling and making things look really painful to a comic degree. He's like a cartoon character in that way, and I really enjoyed that. Night two, the Street Profits versus Final Testament was kind of whatever. I really liked the LA Knight. Yeah. AJ Styles match. I thought that was a really good match. Maybe AJ Styles, one of his best matches that he's had on the roster. His Boneyard match with Undertaker was really good, but I think AJ Styles, oddly enough, a match with LA Knight was one of his better ones, and LA Knight went over, which I love. Yeah. The triple threat with Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens was good. Although last year they did the prime bottle with KSI, which to me, KSI is at least like, he's got some notoriety in the normal public, not just online. So it's like, oh, okay, I know who that is. I know who iShow Speed is, but I couldn't give a shit about him. And him showing up in like the prime bottle to get RKO'd by Randy Orton, I just think it's like, you know, it's not like bringing like Twitch people or like internet people over to wrestling that aren't already there, right? Like, to me, it's like, eh. If you would have RKO'd Mr. Beast or some shit like that, that would have been fucking wild. That would have been like, okay, but iShow Speed to me is just kind of, I'm not into him as a content creator. I think he's kind of whack. But I like the match, and I like that Logan goes over. I think Logan should hold on to the United States title, at least till SummerSlam when it's in Cleveland. Io Sky versus Bayley, fantastic match. Love that match. Love that Bayley went over there. Io Sky's tough as a heel because, like, her moveset, like, just kind of lends itself to being a babyface because she's so, like, flashy and does a lot of cool stuff. But I think they did a really good job in that match. And then I love. Tara's mad about this, but the opener, Seth versus Drew. Drew winning and getting his moment just for bisexual Undertaker Damian Priest to come in and use the Money in the Break briefcase finally cashing in because Drew just couldn't let go of his obsession with CM Punk. I just love everything about this. Seth getting emotional at the end, and you can tell he's going to take some time off. He's very beat up and hurt, and you could tell that, like, he put everything he had, and, like, he's The Rock said it later. He's the MVP of WrestleMania. Seth freaking Rollins. What a guy. What a performer. And then we have the Avengers Endgame of WWE, as everybody keeps calling it. Cody versus Roman for the Undisputed Universal title. Cody finally getting the win, finishing the story, and all that. Super cool. I love the, you know, John Cena. Honestly, the Uso segment that happened there where Jimmy comes out and then Jay comes out to meet him and they crash off the stage was better than their whole match. You got John Cena showing up to fight Solo, and then you got The Rock coming out to fight John Cena, and then you got The Undertaker coming out to take care of The Rock. Just really cool, fun stuff. Cody getting the win, his whole family entering the ring, and all the baby faces coming out to, you know, and they get the handshake moment with Cody and Seth. And Seth himself coming out in the Shield gear to take the chair shot from Roman to get Roman finally getting his, like, payback on Seth. Super, super duper cool. I loved WrestleMania. I thought it was an all-time great WrestleMania. I don't know about the greatest, but it was a really good WrestleMania. That's my thoughts on it. So I have a actual letter to read from Fabio. I kind of answered this in the topic in the Discord, but I wanted to read his letter and kind of say my piece on it on the pod because that's what this is for. And this is regarding in episode 4, I talked about Megalovania and One Winged Angel and Nachtflügel and Dancing Mad kind of being overrated songs, and I don't understand why someone would sit there on their Spotify and listen to those songs. And here's Fabio's letter.
One Winged Angel being mid is a take I'm used to by now here. Similar to Nachtflügel, overly composed boss battle music, Dick Rode for its bloated artistry, talked about incessantly. I get it. I disagree, but I get it. But Megalovania, IMO, is not anywhere near the same category as those. It's Toby Fox firing on all cylinders. The main guitar riff is sick as hell, and fun to play is taboo. This is coming from someone who prioritizes good riff writing above all when it comes to writing cool guitar parts. It's the only song in the OST that features more realistic audio samples, and actually does it sounding pretty good. The song itself is dynamic and interesting, multiple sections that build and expand on the previous in ways that transcend your typical video game music loop. It sounds hokey or goofy only by means of the fact that it uses Toby's trademark Earthbound-centric sound fonts for the synth parts, and its style is generally quirky in nature, but that's complemented by the sort of layered-slash-meta-comedic element of it being sans battle theme. Funny, dopey comic relief character is actually Super Boss, and his favorite music is some form of Slayer-slash-Metallica mix. That's fucking hilarious, and the fact that the song is actually kind of badass makes the humorous element even funnier, in my opinion. The problem really comes down to overexposure. I think Megalovania had too much time to fuck around in the zeitgeist and now people are sick of it. But it's not bad because of that. I would even argue that the reason some of these tracks are so highly regarded is because they are so good. They are genuinely artistic works that go above and beyond what a typical video game music track does, and that's why people gravitate towards those works and appreciate them in that way. It's not random that tracks like these are put on a pedestal. Listen, buddy, I'll let the Hollywood the Crack stuff slide. Shit, I'll even abstain from commenting on the butt rock debate. You can have that one, for now. But I'll be damned if I sit here and listen to someone I know deep down in my kingdom heart to be a Toby Fox fan say that Megalovania is mid. Good day to you, sir. Sincerely, Fabio the Iguana, there's a letter for your mailbag.
I say this with Fabio being someone whose opinions I respect immensely and someone who has a ton of musical knowledge, more than I do, for sure. But this is what I say to that. Fuck you. I'm just kidding. No, I think you hit on a lot of good points there. My problem with Megalovania is, I think, what you like about it. And that is that it feels like it's not supposed to be in this game. And that's because it wasn't written for this game. This is a song that Toby Fox has been using on his various Earthbound mods and things he did before Undertale. And I think it fits in a certain way, but then in a certain way, it kind of takes me out of it. I don't think it's like, I think the Undertale soundtrack is so good that when people gravitate towards something like Megalovania, which to me isn't like the other songs, they go, well, wait, what about all these other songs that are really good? And so that's my problem with that. I think Megalovania is ultimately more listenable than One Winged Angel or Dancing Mad or Nachtflugel, right? I think, to my point I made in the last episode, it's like, I think One Winged Angel or Nachtflugel, they're fine in their context, but I don't know why anybody would, because the question was, hey, who sits there and listens to this stuff is basically what we were talking about, and I don't think I could sit there and listen to those songs and be like, yeah, mm-hmm, One Winged Angel, One Winged Angel, right now, put it, you know, hey, hey, what's up? It's me, X, your Spotify DJ, and today I'm going to play a song that you listen to a lot. It's One Winged Angel by Nobuo Uematsu. All right. You know, it's like, I don't, that's my argument, is I don't think that, I think if you do that, you're a nerd. And we're all nerds in different ways, but I think you're a really big nerd if you sit there and listen to One Winged Angel. That was my point. I like Megalovania. I think it's overrated. I think it doesn't fit in the game that it's from, or that the game that it ended up being popular for. Chaney asks, last episode you mentioned liking the Undertale Deltarune OSTs. What are your favorite tracks from both games? I did answer that. I don't know what happened to me. I started just like answering questions in this thread. And I was like, wait, that's not what they're asking me to say it on the show, Mike, you dumb idiot. Not in this thread. But I said, my favorites from Deltarune are Lost Girl, Field of Hopes and Dreams, A Cyber's World, My Castle Town, The World Revolving, Rude Buster, etc. Which I say etc. because like there's so many songs that are just like, hey, this is a 30-second like do thing and it's awesome. But when I listen to these OSTs, I listen to the whole OST. I start from the beginning and I go all the way down. I have a playlist on my Spotify that's Deltarune Chapters 1 and 2, and I listen to that. Undertale, I like Ghost Fight, Heartache, Snowden Town, Another Medium. Another Medium might be my favorite. It's Raining Somewhere Else, Asgore, and then obviously a lot of others. I had to look up names on this too when I did this because I was like, I don't remember what they're named. You know, I know like Another Medium is the hot side. Or is Hot Side? That might be like a Earthbound name. I don't know. I haven't played Undertale in a long time, but like the hot area, that's Another Medium. I know that, right? But yeah, those are probably my favorites. Another music question. This is a really heavy music episode, which I'm sure you people that aren't wrestling fans are really excited about, but the wrestling fans are probably like, hey, talk about wrestling more. This is from Panda, and it says, do y'all have bands where y'all like a lot of their discography, but for whatever reason, you wouldn't name them like a favorite band? So this is a tough question and kind of topical because there's a band that I think a few years ago I would have said, yeah, I'm a really big fan of this band. I've seen them so many times. But as they continue to release new music that I don't really vibe with, I've kind of like fallen out of, you know, love with them. But I don't know if this is exactly what you're describing. Like, I like a lot of discography. The band's Taking Back Sunday. And I just think their newer stuff isn't very good. And I think their newer live performances aren't very good. But they're definitely a band I've seen double-digit times and I like a lot. And I like their really early stuff, and I like some of their mid-career stuff. But their newer stuff is just not... They've become like a weird dad rock band. And I don't really get it. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with Adam, the lead singer, the way his voice has kind of changed over time. And so they try to write stuff that's more in his range now than as opposed to like what it was before. But I'm just not a big fan of their newer stuff, and so that kind of like that I probably would tell you before, oh, this top five favorite band, and now I'm like, I don't know if that's true. I don't know. And I'm kind of hitting this weird like renaissance in my life where, you know, I talked about before, hey, discovering new music as an old person is hard because you have all this nostalgia and you have this like reasons why you don't want to listen to new music. But I've really been like in this era of letting Spotify like choose music for me and then like going, oh, okay, let me check this out. Like it started with Sleep Token for sure. And like I had people like tell me like, hey, you should check out Sleep Token because I think you'd like them. But like there's been bands like Wolf and Bear that I've been getting really into. I've been really getting into Glassjaw, which is a band that's been around a long time and a band that a lot of my favorite bands go, hey, we grew up on Glassjaw or we were influenced by Glassjaw. And I've never gotten it until recently. So like there's been stuff like that. So I think that's easy to take a band like Taking Back Sunday, which I've kind of fallen out of love with and going, oh, okay, well, I still like some of the stuff, but I don't know that they're a favorite band of mine anymore. Another band that's like that, there's a band called Circa Survive that I've seen a few times live, and there's one album in particular I really like, and then I like songs on different albums, but I don't think they're one of my favorite bands. And I can't tell you why, because like you take all the parts that they have, like all the, you know, the vocals and the cool guitars and the cool drums and everything and the songwriting I like. And I like a lot of the lyrics and a lot of the meaning behind the songs. But you take it all and put it together and sometimes it just doesn't click. And I don't get why. So, yeah, I would say those two are the ones where I'm like, hey, I should like this more than I do for Circus Survive. And I don't know. Speaking of music, it's time for the album of the episode. Frank is begging me because Frank told me he's listening to the album that I recommend, and then that's all he's listening to the next episode. So Frank has been listening to Good Apollo Volume 1 from Fear Through the Eyes of Madness by Coheed and Cambria for a long time, which is a long album. I guess there's worse albums that could happen to. But today, I'm going back to the Fall Out Boy well, and I'm sure Frank will appreciate this because I know he's been listening when I recommended so much for Stardust. I know Baby Luke has been real into Fall Out Boy. This is my favorite Fall Out Boy album. It's maybe one of their most controversial. It's Fully Ado, and it came out in 2008, and it was on the tail of Infinity on High, which is their probably most commercially successful album, at least during that period. That album has This Ain't a Scene, It's an Arms Race, a lot of songs. There's a lot of good Thanks for the Memories, which is a huge song for them. And then they came out with this album, and the music world was kind of changing at that point. Like, that whole emo thing that they were riding kind of died out. And this album wasn't received super well at the time. I loved it. I know a lot of people loved it, and it's kind of had a renaissance where, oh, this has been my favorite album the whole time, and then Fall Out Boy sitting there like, there's no way, because people didn't really like this album when it came out. But there's a lot of people that do find it. I know it's one of Tara's favorite albums. It's my favorite album. And it's a very rock-centric album. It's very theatric. It has a lot of really good songs. It has Head First Slide into Cooperstown on a Bad Bet, which is a fucking stupid name for a song, and it's referencing fucking Pete Rose, the guy who was banned from the MLB for gambling. Banned from the Hall of Fame, I guess, for gambling on baseball games. But it's an incredible song, and it might be one of my favorite Fall Out Boy song. And Pat, the lead singer, really goes for it on this song. There's this section that Tara and I and Jason always talk about where it's like, it's so hard to explain, but it goes into this musical break and he just starts like yelling, like, and not in like a screamy way, but in like a sing-songy way. And it's just such a unique song, and it's so good. And Tara and I recently saw it live when we went and saw Fall Out Boy, and it was the first time I've ever seen it live, because it's not like a big single or anything. But it's a really good song. They have What a Catch, Donnie, which was like a big song for them at the time, and it's also the song, it has like the chorus of, like, it has different artists singing the chorus of every one of their hits towards the end of the song, and it was clearly like a, hey, are they not going to be a band anymore kind of thing vibe? And that's when they ended up taking their hiatus, was after this album for a number of years. I remember being very sad about it. It just has such good songs on it. The only song I'm not like huge into is the first single off of I Don't Care, which I'm sure you guys heard. I don't care what you think as long as it's about me. That song, it's fine, but it's definitely the song if I'm playing this album, I'm like skipping, you know? But I love this album. And it just brings me to another topic, which I'm kind of pissed off about, is this album's name is Fully Ado, which I believe translates to the shared madness of two. That's what I've always been told. I haven't looked it up myself. I've seen it just on the internet. That's what it means. The shared madness of two. It's French, right? And the new the subtitle for the new Joker movie is Fully Ado, which is the only other time I've heard this term in popular media, right? Is the Fall Out Boy album and now this Joker movie, which clearly the shared madness of two would make sense because they're adding Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn. But I'm kind of pissed off about this because I feel like, while I'm not like against the Joker movie, I saw the first one. I thought it was fine. You know, like not a movie I'm going to like watch again. It's not a pleasant movie to watch. You know, there's some memes that came from it and I'll probably go see this new one, but it bothers me that this term that throughout since 2008 has been meant a very specific thing to me is going to be bastardized by this other thing. And I know that's like such a weird thing to think about, but that's really, I'm really having a hard time coming to terms with the whole Fully Ado of it all, you know? Like, no, this is the Fall Out Boy album, not some stupid fucking Todd Phillips movie, all right? So maybe I won't go see it. You know what? Maybe I'm not going to go see Joker Fully Ado, all right? Maybe they can Fully Ado something else. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Come on, that was good. So that's my album of the episode. Go check it out. Go listen to it. Frank, you're welcome. And then I have one last topic I'm going to talk about today. And this one comes from Nathan, who says, any shows / movies you would recommend? And I have two answers to this. Anytime anybody asks me for a show, I am screaming from the top of my lungs, I think you should leave. And I know this isn't like a new show. They didn't release a new season recently, but I think it's so goddamn funny. Like, it's just my specific brand of humor. Tim Robinson is hilarious. Tara and I went and saw I Think You Should Leave live show, which was really good. And I'm wearing my Tim Robinson merch, which has the little egg. And if you've seen that sketch, I know Tyler likes that sketch. You know what it is. I really, really, really enjoy that show. It's so quick and easy to watch. You know, people talk about The Office all the time. Like, oh, when I'm not doing anything, I put The Office on. I put on I Think You Should Leave. I think it's so funny. It's just, it's a very Michigan humor to me. You know, it's very much like when I first was watching it the first time, there were multiple times where Tara would lean over to me and go, this is like exactly what you would write, you know, and I'm not trying to say I'm like as talented as Tim Robinson. I wouldn't ever say that. But a lot of times the way the sketches would end are like ways that Jason and I have ended like videos back when we were like doing like the real crazy YouTube stuff. Right. Like I just think it's like internet humor brought to like a real show. Rarely do I not laugh. Like, there have been maybe two or three sketches in the whole show's whole run where I'm like, that was all right. Everything makes me laugh, even if I've seen it multiple times. It's just so funny to me. And I'm not a laugh-out-loud kind of guy. I don't do a lot of laughing at stuff. I'll like, huh, or I'll, like, snicker, or you know, but this show makes me laugh out loud, so you should watch that. The other thing I recommend is Tara and I, the other night, watched a movie that I've wanted to watch for a little bit called The Iron Claw, starring Zac Efron and the guy from The Bear, whatever, Jeremy Allen, is that his name? That sounds right. If that's not right, sorry. And it's based on a true story about the Von Erich wrestling family. And yeah, I'm going to talk about wrestling again for a minute. Sorry. But it's a really sad story. They embellish it a little bit. They remove some things from their life. They add some things to their life. But it's mostly accurate. And the Von Erichs were in the 80s. Just this legendary group of brothers that their dad was a wrestler and they were on the rise to stardom at a very young age, all of them. And then just tragedy hits them one after another to the point where they think the Von Erich name is cursed. And it's really sad, but it also, I think, delivers like a really, for as much tragedy as there is, it delivers a really uplifting message at the end about breaking cycles and coming to terms with how to change the life for your children, like, change their life as opposed to what you were given. And I really vibed with me. I really like it. There's tremendous. Zac Efron looks just yoked out of his mind. He is not beating any allegations. He just, and that's how Kevin Von Erich looked, right? So he's, but he just looks like just absolutely jacked. The wrestling in it's really good. Chavo Guerrero Jr. did like the choreographing stuff, and he's, you know, famous wrestler. And he's been doing that in Hollywood for a while now, but it's just, it's really good. And I highly recommend it. Tara and I both really liked it. So check out, The Iron Claw. All right. So that's going to do it for this, secret. It's a bit of a secret Handsome Report podcast. Thank you guys so much for supporting and listening and watching. Yeah, I have a lot of fun doing these. These are, I worked this morning and then I like rushed home because I was like, you know what? I'm going to record a secret Handsome Report today. That's what I'm going to do. And, you know, I might just record another one. We'll see. I might just record another one right after. Who knows? Anyway, thank you guys. I don't have a sign out yet to this. May your heart be your guiding key or whatever. Bye.